future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Here's what's been going down in the last 24 hours, and this is what you need to know. So to kick things off, we had a survey saying 13% of shoppers would buy Amazon crypto. So online e-commerce giant Amazon has one of the strongest brands in the world. What started out as just an online bookstore has become almost a force of nature, taking over entire industries. The company also enjoys a great deal of trust with customers, especially in the US, where some people allow Amazon to unlock their front door to make in-home deliveries. Amazon Key is what it's called. Install its AI-powered listening devices through Alexa and even to run the cloud computing systems of the CIA. It'd be fair to say that Amazon is more trusted and liked than most banks. Given this fact, it's not surprising that a good portion of its customers would also trust Amazon with their digital finance needs. A survey suggests that over 1,000 Amazon clients by the financial portal investing.com found that 12.7% of them would feel comfortable purchasing cryptocurrency under the Amazon brand. This could be assumed to be anything from an integrated cryptocurrency wallet to an Amazon issued token. And by the way, that's where the market currently is, right? Misunderstood. A lot of people aren't aware of what cryptocurrencies are. Like in the next couple of years, when market awareness increases to the general population out there, that percentage will change drastically. And the idea pops into your mind, what would they call their token? Would it be, it won't be something cliche like Amazon token, Amazon coin. I think they'll come up with something a little bit more creative. Well, I hope they do. And I look forward to them doing that. I mean, it'd be super interesting when Amazon starts to use cryptocurrency as a way of payment for in website sales. So let's go. Let's see what they've got. Next up, we have WireX adds first stablecoin. So popular online bank and credit or debit card issuer WireX has added its first stablecoin to its list of supported cryptocurrencies. Users of the WireX platform in the European Economic Area, the EEA, can now buy, store, convert, and SpeedDay, which is DAI, with their WireX Visa cards. And UK-based company announced in a recent blog post today. So this is the seventh token made available for WireX users, as the service already supports Bitcoin. So Bitcoin, as in BTC, Litecoin, LTC, Ripple, XRP, Ether, ETH, and Waves, which is super interesting that these guys are adding more and more. I'd be interested to see the kind of volume figures that are putting through there, but I don't have any clarity on that as of yet. Coinbase, in other news, takes a swing with BAT. So back in December, Coinbase announced an initiative meant to incentivize people to learn more about cryptocurrencies. The Coinbase Earn educational platform rewards users with tokens for completing various tasks, such as watching videos and taking quizzes on crypto-related content. On Wednesday, a section on basic attention token BAT was added to the service, offering users the opportunity to earn up to $10 worth of BAT in the process of learning about it. The Coinbase Earn team explained to those new to BAT that basic attention token seeks to improve the efficiency of digital advertising of a token that can be exchanged between publishers, advertisers, and users on the Ethereum blockchain. The token can be used to obtain a variety of advertising and attention-based services on the BAT platform and the Brave browser. The token quickly jumped over 10% in price, offering a valuable lesson in the power of Coinbase to move the market. The Coinbase effect is definitely strong. It's interesting where they actually took, like, if you're going to do an education course by Coinbase, what are the chances that you know about Coinbase? And if you know about Coinbase, what are the chances that you already know about cryptocurrency? And if you know about cryptocurrency, what are the chances that you already know about BAT? You know what I mean? That's my kind of thinking. But at the same time, I think it's great that they're showing initiative in this, but they're receiving BAT tokens, and I doubt they're paying for that, right? I'm sure the basic attention token treasury has to fork those tokens out. So it's not Coinbase buying a load on the goodness of their hearts. But all in all, it's a good initiative and we wish them luck. So I'm super pumped to do today's episode. We're going to be talking about off-chain trading with Augur and ZeroX. So trading in Augur markets. Augur is a decentralized prediction market protocol. It's a set of smart contracts that let Ethereum users create, trade in, report the outcomes of, and claim their winnings in prediction markets. So in layman's terms, here's kind of how it works. Well, the basic level. Point number one, a market is created with two outcome ERC-20 tokens. Number two, anybody can use ETH to buy a complete set. So one long share and one short share, split the set into distinct shares and trade the shares with other users. Number three, when the market expires, the reporters assign a value to shares of each token such that the value of a complete set remains one ETH. So while a market is open, the value of its token are determined by traders who make and fill orders. The prices are generally based on the token's expected values at the market's expiration. Now, because shares will never be redeemable for more than one ETH each, the market prices of the two tokens are always somewhere between 0 and 1. So let's take for an example, Jill is willing to pay 0.6 ETH for a long share. That means that she thinks the long share will be worth more in the future, either because it will be redeemable for more than 0.6 ETH at the end of the market, or because someone else is willing to buy it later for 0.7 or 0.8 ETH. If another trader, Jack, is willing to sell a long share for 0.6, then Jill and Jack orders can match. Great. So in this situation, buying a long share for ETH works like buying most tokens on the exchange. Jill wants to buy a token at 0.6 ETH. Jack wants to sell that token at 0.6 ETH. So a trade can be executed between them. However, let's consider another example where Jack doesn't actually own any shares, but he does want to buy a short share for 0.4 ETH. In this case, Jill and Jack can still trade, but it takes an extra step. A third party can step in and spend one ETH to buy a complete set, one long, one short share. Then it can sell the share to Jill for 0.6 and the short share to Jack for 0.4, totaling the one ETH that was spent on the complete set. So when the third party buying complete sets, Jill's order for long at 0.6 matches Jack's order for short at 0.4. In fact, all buys for long tokens at price X match with buys for short tokens at price 1X, right? 1-X, not 1X. With a little more mental energy, we can also conclude that sell orders for longs and shorts match the same way. Imagine that Jill is willing to sell a long token for 0.6 and Jack is willing to sell a short token for 0.4. Now the third party can take one ETH, fill both their orders, and then sell the complete set back to Augur to get the one ETH back, right? This leads us to an odd but important property of prediction markets with two outcomes. Assuming a third party is willing to buy and sell complete sets on traders' behalf, the order books for long and short shares are mirroring images of each other. Or in other words, there is only one order book and two ways to look at it. A long buy at 0.6 can either match a long sell at 0.6 or a short buy at 0.4. Now a short at 0.2 can match either a short buy at 0.2 or a long at 0.8, creating the order in one book or order book always creates the opposite order in the other. So that's kind of that. So Augur's built-in on-chain order matching system can provide, provides this property of a single order book. The order trading contract acts as third party. So this means anytime somebody creates a buy order for one or for a long token at a price of X on Augur, it means somebody can immediately buy a short token at price 1-X, right? However, to use the Augur book, you need to submit an Ethereum transaction every time you create or cancel an order. This costs gas and time and reduces the appeal both to market makers who like creating and canceling lots of orders and small-time traders who don't want to pay a large fixed gas fee every trade. So Ville set out to solve this problem using 0x. So off-chain orders of 0x. At its core, 0x is a smart contract that executes orders. There's actually quite a bit of complexity involved, but at a high level, it plays a simple role. If two people agree off-chain they want to exchange some shares of one token for some shares of another token, they can submit a signed order to 0x, which will move both shares in one atomic transaction. Orders created and signed by a maker and then later executed on-chain by a taker. Augur's built-in order book doesn't accept off-chain 0x orders. So you must use the third party that buys and sells complete sets and executes trades to act as the third party. So let's say Vil is the taker. On all Vil orders, if we let users take each other's trades directly, we'd lose the ability to match long orders and short orders. We'd end up with the two order books instead of one for each market. We'd also require the users actually go to Augur to purchase complete sets, and that they would have to pay gas on the back of that to send transactions to 0x, both of which would make it harder to start trading. So let's say Jill and Jack are using Vil. Once again, Jill wants to buy a long share for 0.6 ETH. Jill then signs a Vil buy order at one long share at 0.6 ETH. Share, it doesn't immediately match any other orders. It's placed on Vil's order book with a buy, or with a long, sorry, buy at 0.6 and a short sell at 0.4. So Jack comes along looking to take a short position. He sees that he can get one short share for 0.4 ETH. So he signs another Vil order for that amount. Now, immediately upon the creation of Jack's order, the two orders match and are removed from the order book. In fact, Jack's order never appears in the order book at all. So the Vil matching engine does two things. One, it buys complete sets from Augur for one ETH, and then it executes both orders by submitting a transaction to 0x. When the transaction finishes, Jill has one long token and Jack has one short token, and Vil's ETH balance is unaffected. And Jill's and Jack's perspectives, right? So they don't know. It's all cool. It appears that somebody sold them a token, even though both traders only created buy orders. So in this scenario, we can think of Jack as the taker because he takes liquidity from the order book, even though Vil is listed as the taker on both 0x orders. Jill's order is never executed until Jack's order matches. It's also worth pointing out that Vil always executes matching orders in a batch using 0x batch fill or kill method, right? So that's something built in to ensure they can execute automatically. So, I mean, you know, in conclusion, Augur lets you buy and sell complete sets of ETH or sets of shares for ETH. You know, by buying and selling complete sets on traders' behalf, Vil can then share orders for long and short tokens, resulting in a single order book for both, right? Vil, not traders, executes on-chain, so Vil pays off the gas fees. If you're trading a lot, if you're not market making, it's important to understand that Vil markets have one order book, despite having two tokens. For example, a market maker can add liquidity by creating either buy orders or sell orders. This is important because you only need ETH to start making markets. Just create buy orders and short orders. So that's really interesting. I hope that's kind of summarized it and it makes some sense with regards to kind of the in-depth off-chain transaction benefits that Augur can provide. I think what we'll do is we'll take probably a deeper dive into Augur. Maybe, Thursday? Maybe early next week we'll do that. That would be something that we'd be super pumped to do. By the way, we've got a really exciting episode coming out. We believe that there's not enough female podcast hosts in the space. So what have we done? Well, we have Jess Holgrave, who was one of the co-founders of Codex. She's the co-founder of Sheos and Eos Block Producer. She's going to be coming onto our show every week to do an exclusive interview of other females in the space, something we're super pumped about, super excited. So listen, that's going to be coming out tomorrow. We're super pumped for it to be making its debut. With that in mind, that's a wrap. I've got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention as always. If you have any questions or queries, feel free to email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. You know it makes sense. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.